And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Mino Studio is a pre- and post-production facility for all of your audio needs. Mino Studio's founder is an accredited audio engineer with top 40 and indie album credits. With over 30 years of music industry experience, Mino Studio can take your podcast from idea to reality. Contact Mino Studio at minostudio777@gmail.com for more information. That's Mino Studio spelled M-E-N-O, minostudio777@gmail.com. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello? Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is Analyzing Rental Properties, Part 3. Now, in Part 1, if you recall, we did sort of an overview when we looked at just collecting that data and how important it was for your overall result. Well, in Part 2, we talked about the data that you need to collect in order to come up with that information that will help you summarize whether or not this is a good deal or not. Part 2, we talked about playing the detective, so to speak, or the CSI guy or gal, and you've done everything you can to get the test, the best detailed data. You've dove deep and collected the real numbers on that property. Now here is where you're going to do the math and plug in the numbers you've collected into your model. Now I'm going to use Jay Scott's An Introduction to Real Estate Deal Analysis to help to sort of drive it home for you in Part 3. Now with all the info you've compiled, you have enough to determine if this property meets the financial bar you have set. This is where the key ratios come in. You're going to plug the info you've collected in Part 2 into simple formulas or equations here to help you determine key ratios. The key ratios will help you to determine how good the deal is. So let's start with some of those ratios. First one, NOI, or net operating income. The total income a property generates after all expenses, not including debt service costs, in other words, the loan cost, the monthly mortgage payment, in other words, in mathematical terms, it's the total income minus the total expenses of the property. NOI equals income minus expenses. You calculate the monthly numbers and then you multiply it by 12 for your annual numbers. You can average expenses, it's fine, but it's just important that your information is detailed and to the best of your analysis. For example, in some properties, for example, outside of the Sun Belt areas, expenses can change pretty radically during the winter. Heating costs, snow clearing, things like that will affect your averages and they go up quite a bit during those winter months. So try to be as accurate as you can as you compile this data. Once you've come up with your net operating income or your NOI, you can then calculate your cash flow. And you know, we talk about cash flow a lot. That's what we say, you know, cash flow is king. But your cash flow is equals NOI minus your debt service. So you've already got your NOI, which is your income minus expenses. Now we minus out the debt service, your loan payment. Now, if you don't have a loan payment, if you paid cash for the property, then your NOI is your cash flow, okay? Next, we're going to look at the rates of return. Now, cash flow is important, as I said, and I say in every episode, cash flow is king, but it isn't the only important number. Rate of return, or your ROI, return on investment, measures the amount of cash flow you receive relative to the amount of money you invested. In other words, this is the part where you can see if it's a good investment. ROI, or return on investment, equals cash flow divided by the investment basics, or the money that you actually put into the deal. You're out of pocket to purchase that particular property. Obviously, ROI is going to be higher when one or both of the following are true. Cash flow is higher, or investment basics is lower. You can see from the equation, but it should be obviously when you think about it. If you can make a lot of money from putting in a very small amount of money, then things are good. And with real estate investing, leverage and stretching your actual cash is key. What is a reasonable ROI? Well, let's look at other investments. How much do you earn on a typical savings account? Well, nowadays it's probably less than 1%. But let's say the stock market. If you're managing it well, maybe you'll pull 8 to 10% out. I mean, if you're really managing it well, and so forth. So you look at it like you would any other type of investment. For example, let's look at $100. Let's say hypothetically that you put that $100 in a money market fund, and that money market fund earns you $5 for the year. Okay, your ROI is 5%. Okay, that's pretty easy. However, with real estate investing, there are three ROI numbers or ratios you need to know. Cap rate, which we've just touched on, cash on cash, and total ROI. First, let's look at cap rate. Now, cap rate is the value, it's known as capitalization rate or cap rate, and I actually spent a whole Fun Fact Friday on this topic before. It's episode 024. It's that important. We did a whole topic on it. So just as we have a key income value, we call that NOI or net operating income. This is completely independent of the details of financing. So we also have a key ROI value that is independent of the buyer and the details of the financing. It's that important. In fact, if there's a single number that's most important in doing the financial analysis of any property, the cap rate may be it, because cap rate is independent of the buyer and the financing. It is the most pure indication of the actual return a property will generate. The equation to calculate cap rate is cap rate equals NOI divided by the property price. Another way to look at cap rate is it is the ROI, your return on investment or annual percentage return, that you would earn if you paid all cash for your property. Okay? This is because cap rate assumes that the investment amount is the maximum, the full price of the property. So what is a good cap rate? It depends on the area of the country you're in, but in general, most areas of the country see maximum cap rates at 8 to 12%. It depends. Not in California, where I'm from, but on average. And just like single-family homes are based on comps from similar properties, the value of larger investment properties, multifamily, is usually based on the cap rate or comparable where you compare investment properties in that area and their cap rate and the area cap rate. For example, if the average cap rate in your area is 10%, you should earn at least 10% on the property you want to purchase. Next is our second key rate of return ratio, cash on cash return. Now, cash on cash return, income and cash flow, the financing dependent income, there are also multiple measures of return. As we've discussed, the financing independent rate of return, the theoretical return on a fully paid property, is the cap rate. And of course, there is the real, not theoretical rate of return as well. This is called cash on cash return because it is exact cash you will get back relative to the actual cash you put into the deal. For example, we discussed that if you took $100 and put it in a money market account, you'd earn $5 or an ROI of 5%. The cash on cash is the equivalent measure of how much return you will make if you put $100 into that property. So the cash on cash equals cash flow divided by the out-of-pocket, the money you put into that deal. So, for example, if your annual cash flow is $15,000 and you put $100,000 cash into the deal to cover your down payment, your improvements and your closing costs, etc. Okay, that's cash that you're paying. The cash on cash return is $10,000, okay, divided by $100,000 or 15%. Okay, do you get it? So that's the actual amount of money that you put into this deal. You're not putting anything else, for example, into it. And what are you going to generate? The cash flow, okay, is what you have to calculate into this. So what you're going to actually make in a year. Comparing this to the money market account investment, you can see you get a better rate of return on the real estate example. It's up to you on what your minimum rate of return will be, as you can see, but getting less than 10% is probably not worth your time. But before you run off and make any final decisions based on cash alone, consider that the cash flow you make on a property isn't the only way that affects your bottom line. Okay, and that's where we look at total ROI, return on investment. In addition to cash flow, there are several other key financial considerations that affect a property's performance. Specifically, there's the tax consequences. You will receive direct tax benefits, for example, depreciation, operating expense deductions, mortgage interest, things like that that you will directly affect your bottom line. Property appreciation. You may not be able to accurately predict this, but as the property increases in value, when you eventually sell, you're going to realize that, and it will also affect your bottom line. And finally, equity accrued. Remember, your tenants are paying off your property for you each and every month and paying for your mortgage payment. Equity will increase as your mortgage payments are made. Next, the difference between cash on cash and your total ROI is that cash on cash only considers the financial impact of cash flow. Total ROI considers all the factors that affect the bottom line. Your total ROI is calculated as follows. Now listen carefully here. Total ROI equals the total return divided by your total out-of-pocket investment. And this is where total return, it's made up of your cash flow, your equity accrual, your appreciation, and your tax benefits. So let's use the following for our total return calculation. Okay. And again, all this is going to be in our show notes. So if this sounds like it's going, you know, I can't remember all this, that's okay. We have all these will be in my notes in the show notes section, which is in the blog section of olddogsreinetwork.com. Let's assume we expect a 2% appreciation on the value of the property this year based on the improvements that we would do upon purchase. Next, we would calculate the equity accrued in the first year of the mortgage. So given the following assumptions, okay, and here's the numbers I'm going to have. And keep in mind, I'm also going to have a spreadsheet here that you're going to be able to link to, and you can see all these numbers. When you see them under their categories and where they all fit together, it'll help you to also visualize exactly what it is I'm talking about. And I think that link to that spreadsheet will be helpful for you. Okay, so given the following assumptions, a property priced at $400,000, your out-of-pocket cash that you're going to have to put into this, which is, you know, your down payment, your closing costs, etc. Okay, $98,000. And the cash flow for the property would be $11,621 each year. Okay, then we're going to add in these other things. Again, they change the overall, but at least gives you an overview. 2% annual appreciation, okay, and that's going to be for the year $8,360. Equity accrued in the first year mortgage, $3,251. So let's also assume that for the sake of this example, that there's no tax breaks or extra taxes due by owning this property. And that's not really going to be the case, but we're trying to simplify it, okay? So taking that out of there, the total return of the property for the first year would be as follows. Total return equals a cash flow of $11,621 plus appreciation of $8,360 plus equity accrued of $3,251 plus, and we're saying zero on the tax side of it, so the total return equals $23,232. Take that amount and divide it by your out-of-pocket cash, okay, your $98,000. So your total return, okay, would be $23,232, which is your total return, okay, divided by your $98,000 cash out of pocket. And your return is, drum roll please, 23.71%. That's right, 23.71%. Not a bad return on your investment. So I think that, you know, again, I went over a lot of numbers and a lot of things I said in there. I think look at the show notes. I also think look at the spreadsheet. There'll be a link to this spreadsheet. It's a PDF document, so you really can't do any adjustments to it, but you could input it into your own Excel spreadsheet and make it your own. I help make this clear. Like I said, I've got the spreadsheet there, and that will be linked at the blog. We now have all the data we need to assess the value of a property. But keep in mind, our assessment is only for the first year of ownership. In subsequent years, you have to look at accrued annual equity. Let's say it would increase, expenses may rise with inflation, or they may be reduced if you employ things like RUBS and other ways to reduce expenses. Rental rates may increase or decrease depending on the market. Your tax situation may change, and a host of other factors may contribute to the return on your investment, either increasing or decreasing. You always want to try to, you know, work toward the increasing part, of course, but factors can happen, and you want to try to factor in as realistically as you can the numbers that are going to be the real numbers. While we can't predict the future, you should be able to extend your analysis out a couple of years using trend data or demographic data that indicates the direction of the market, inflation, etc. That's all going to be part of your numbers collection that we talked about in part two. You can set up your own analysis sheet, as I mentioned from the example given, but it's really, really important that your numbers be right. There's some other great resources that Bigger Pockets, I've mentioned this before. They have a whole bunch of free analysis sheets that they do, you know, that you can, whether you're flipping houses or whether you're buying, buy and hold properties, that are also very good and do a lot of this calculation for you. But I think you need to understand how they work and what's behind the ratios. And so it's kind of nice to do it yourself just so you get the full understanding of what goes in there. And if you do this, and you can really get good numbers on your properties, you're on your way to real estate investing success. Well, that's it for today, guys and gals. And please note, old dog listeners, everything presented here today, including the links, can be accessed in our show notes, which are at olddogsreinetwork.com. Look for some of our previous episodes, like I mentioned to you. There's part one of this series, part two of this series, and then there's the previous one I mentioned on cap rates, which also you might want to reference as well. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.